You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
There are few sights as marvelous as watching your dog romp and run. You could swear they smile as they cavort during a play day at the dog park. But mobility can be tragically taken away from your canine companion by trauma, disease, or birth defects. In the past, all veterinarians had to offer was palliative relief, which too often required the amputation of a limb. Then came OrthoPets, a very unique service that custom makes prosthetic, orthotic, and adaptive devices for dogs. My guests today are the founder of OrthoPets, Martin Kaufman, and their resident veterinarian, Patrice Misch, a board-certified veterinary anesthesiologist. We'll be right back to learn about this great new service. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pawfume Dog Grooming and Finishing Spray is proud to be a new sponsor of Pet Life Radio. Pawfume Super Long Lasting Sprays are available in four unique fragrances. Each Pawfume spray is fortified with the finest conditioners and detanglers to make combing out your dog more fun. Pawfume retails for only $2 per 6-ounce bottle. Pawfume is available nationwide at all Dollar General and Family Dollar stores. Why pay more to have your dog smell great? Pawfume, Pawfume.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Hello! I'm Deborah Wolf, and I'm inviting you to my animal party on Pet Life Radio. The dress code? Come as you are. Pajamas, a tux. You can even go naked like your pets. Unleash your party animal at my animal party. Guests you know from Animal Planet, TV, radio, the news, and bookstores will be joining me. And that's because after I won Best Pet Radio in America from the DWAA, I got my paw on the door and I met a lot of amazing people. And the best of the best are going to be coming to the party. They're coming to party with us. So join us at the animal party. Don't miss the party.
Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Martin and Dr. Misch, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Well, this is really something that is really very unique and something that I've just recently learned about myself. Martin, you're the founder of this. How did you come up with this idea?
OrthoPets was founded on a concept where in my human career of prosthetics and orthotics, making cool things for kids and adults, like artificial legs or braces, I thought, well, maybe there's something that that could be done for our animal friends. And as it had to be, my cousin's little schnauzer had a stroke, and the recommendation from the veterinarian was to amputate the leg because Walt could no longer lift up his paw and his toes. And being naive in the vet world, I thought that sounded a little bit crazy. And I thought, well, maybe we could just brace Walt like I would brace my human patients. And that was back in the early 2002. And we've just been growing since then, applying the same techniques and protocols that I would use for my two-legged patient. And now we just do it for our four-legged or a variation thereof of our animal patients.
Now, I've been mentioning that this is just for dogs. Is that correct that you're only doing this for dogs, or are you doing it for other species too?
We don't discriminate between species. Basically, our little stance here is we need an appendage that has a heartbeat associated to it. So orangutans, cows, alpacas, llamas, horses, dogs.
Iguanas?
Why not? Yeah, it really is just a philosophy here where we don't really care what the patient is regarding to species or how they present to us. We just are here for mobility and pain management.
Speed of life is what it boils down to.
Dr. Mish, a question for you. There are times when, for instance, a dog has elbow dysplasia, and we know that, okay, they're pushing their weight onto their other elbow to take the weight off these front legs, and now all of a sudden that other one starts to have issues. Typically, what's been done in the past to try and palliate this, to alleviate some of the discomfort, and how successful has it been?
Very, very good question. For me, given my background as a general practitioner and then progressing on to anesthesia and pain management, the most important thing is proper diagnosis. And when I speak of proper diagnosis, I mean making sure that we know what the primary pain generators are. In this case, would be elbow or elbows. And then finding out what the secondary pain generators are. That is, those painful areas that have come about as a result of shifting biomechanics to compensate for the pain on the first elbow. So first thing is proper diagnosis, and then beyond that, what's been done in the past is the use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which in the old days was aspirin, because that's all we had. And then in recent, last 15, 20 years, has been things like Rimadyl and Medicam, and then some supplements like glucose supplements, surgery as needed or as appropriate. And those are the techniques we used, and especially with elbows, to mixed results. Elbows are some of the most difficult joints to treat.
Why are they so difficult to treat? It seems like you have three bones there. Why is that so hard?
That's an excellent question. All of the syndromes that are a part of the elbow dysplasia syndrome, it really is a syndrome, very often it's diagnosed late. And I also think it's difficult to treat because more of the body mass is carried on the front end compared to the hind end. It's a more difficult joint in that it is three bones compared to a stifle, which is a little more of a hinged joint in a different way.
Stifle being a knee joint.
Yes, the knee joint.
You were mentioning obesity. How common is that a potentiating problem?
Oh, very common. It's one of the major roles I have as a pain doctor. Whether you're two-legged or you're four-legged, extra weight definitely increases the concussive forces on the joint, causes more strain on the joint. Additionally, there's good evidence in human medicine that obesity is directly linked to osteoarthritis, not just because of weight bearing, but also because of the inflammatory process associated with it.
It's amazing because I've gone up the learning curve on obesity, because I remember when I was in veterinary school that we just always thought the fat, especially the fat inside the abdominal cavity, was just kind of a space filler and a reserve of energy. And now it seems as though they're just learning more and more all the time that it really produces, as you were saying, a lot of chemicals that are pro-inflammatory and actually speed up the aging process. So forget the Botox, lose some weight.
Exactly. In fact, one of my very first steps in any pain management case is to assess body condition score and then come up with a really healthy lifestyle change for the animal that'll fit for the patient as well as the owner, because compliance is a difficult thing. We all want to feed our animals little treats and tidbits, but the good news is there are healthier ways of approaching it so we can do a better job with weight management and therefore pain management.
I know that you have a clinic in the Denver area. Now, are animals coming to you directly, and then is this kind of a 1-2, Martin, where you look at seeing what type of device is necessary, and Dr. Misch, you get in there and say, okay, such and such needs to be done? How does this work?
So when we are teaming a case here in the Denver area, or when a patient comes in to see us from out of state, it's the team approach of, well, we have to address what are the issues, how can we help with mobility, and that's where we come in as far as prosthetics or the orthotic solutions. What devices could be used to improve mobility? So we rely on both of our expertise from the vet side, from the prosthetic and orthotic side of what should be happening normally, what's not happening because of injury or whatever the diagnosis might be, coming up with a plan of how are we going to return this patient back to normal. So that just really gets to mobility. And then Patsy really works on how do you also now make this patient comfortable? How do you address all of these primary, secondary pain factors that would really take this patient from getting along okay with a brace or with a prosthetic to really thriving and feeling great with a prosthetic or an orthotic device?
That's exactly right. Making the decisions of, okay, is it appropriate to use a prosthetic or an orthotic? Which limb is the issue, the most important issue? Because I see a lot of chronic cases that maybe the limb they came in for isn't the one we need to work on first. Recent cases, that thing. And then setting expectations. Or what are our goals? What does the owner want to achieve, and what can we achieve for the patient? And then how can Martin's bracing techniques and prosthetic techniques marry with my pain management techniques to get the very best outcome?
What a good combination you have. Now, I'm going to actually bite, because I will say, all right, I'm going to show my lack of knowledge in this particular area. I think of orthotics, and I think of the old days when I was trying to be a runner, and I know you could put things in your shoes, orthotics, to make it feel better, etc. Well, dogs aren't wearing shoes, or animals with the blood pressure and a heartbeat aren't wearing shoes, so what's an orthotic and what's a prosthetic device?
That's a great question, and you hit the nail on the head. People think that an orthotic is either something you put in your shoe, or it's something to do with your teeth. And orthotic is neither specifically. An orthotic is just a device that stabilizes an affected leg. So maybe your arch has fallen, and your reference was to a foot orthotic. Give folks with knee injuries. So that's a knee brace. So an orthotic is just something to stabilize an existing limb. A prosthetic is simply to replace the segment of limb that was lost either at birth or through amputation.
And then what is an adaptive device? Because looking at your website, you're mentioning adaptive devices.
Adaptive device, those are the fun, special little projects. For instance, we have quite a number of small breed dogs who have lost or were born without their front legs, both of them. Left and right legs not present in the front. So they're left to try to porpoise around on their chest and push themselves with their back legs. So an adaptive device would be to just figure out how in the world are you going to make this patient as functional as possible given this really huge challenge. You don't have any legs up front. How can you keep them upright so they could even drink out of a water bowl? A lot of these little things. So adaptive device is simply adapting some kind of a solution to this very unique patient. So like missing front legs, or we worked on an orangutan who had problems with his feet, and he couldn't hang on to his surroundings, and he could not then hold with his hands his milk bottle to eat, so he wasn't able to thrive in his environment. So we had to figure out something to do to help him stand so he could use his hands to eat with. So that's an adaptive device, just figuring out how you can possibly make something for this weird, strange case.
You sound like one of these people that you would find in their garage, tinkering with this and tinkering with that. And did you just start as...
My wife, because I took over my garage when I was still working in my human career, tinkering on like our no legs in the front chihuahuas. But that's just what I do. I don't work a case in a little box. We just think about, well, here's an interesting dog doing an interesting thing. What could we possibly do to help this patient? That's been able to really lay the groundwork for how we treat patients now. So with Patsy and I working cases together in-state and out-of-state, now we have this real innovative way to think about patient care, not only mobility, but also in pain management.
Dr. Patsy, do all of these animals have to come to you? Can you do this, you know, from photographs and models, or do they all have to come to you one time or another?
Well, that's a very good question. From the pain management standpoint, I find that I really need to have my hands on a patient to do a complete assessment. I evaluate them from a traditional physical exam, nose to tail, to an orthopedic evaluation, a neurologic evaluation, and a myofascial evaluation, which is essentially muscles, and put the whole picture together. Not something I can do from a photograph, because my hands tell me so much as I touch the dog and as I watch it move. I can watch gait analysis on a video, and I need to get in there and touch and feel those muscles, what kind of loss of tone or atrophy is going on. So most of my patients that I see are going to be in-house, although I do phone consultations. OrthoPets works on cases all over the world, but in Denver are the cases that I do pain management on. I team with Martin. I do phone consultations, but mostly it involves the veterinarian giving me input their hands.
So I have a dog here, or a cat, Niguana, whatever, here in Southern California, and I believe it needs your services. I contact you, we have a consult, you probably talk to the owners, and then they need to go to you. Are they going to have to rent an extended care hotel to take care of themselves and their dog? How long is it going to take from the time that they arrive on your doorstep to when they can leave, typically?
That's a great question. A lot of these cases, they don't need to come see us. If we're working out an orthotic or a prosthetic, we can manage that with their home family veterinarian. And then I can talk with the family veterinarian and they can say to me, okay, this is what we're concerned about. Here's how the dog's doing. Here's some video of the dog with and without the orthotic. And I can make suggestions. So that happens not infrequently. But if we have a very particular case, a very challenging case, then they may want to come and see me for an initial consult. And then we can work up a treatment plan that I'll then partner with their family veterinarian for follow-up. My own cases here in the city, here in Denver, I'm going to see them possibly every week for several weeks if we're doing acupuncture or laser therapy or rehabilitation. I might see them every month for a while if we've chosen just to do pharmaceuticals. If I'm doing stem cell therapy, there'll be a different... So it's quite variable, but just because you live in Southern California doesn't mean that I couldn't work with your family doctor to help with the pain in.
So usual scenario would go, you're in Southern California somewhere, and your dog suffers some kind of an injury, and your local vet says, you know, we got to get some kind of stabilization to this leg. And it might be surgical, might be a brace. But if the discussion ends up coming down to, you know, I think we're just going to use a brace to stabilize this little ankle joint or the hock joint in the dog. The local vet or the owners of that patient will give us a call, and Pat and I go through our little discussion about, well, what's the case? Let's get some more information. So it's a real easy process just to talk to us so we know that we can be of assistance. And then we have a very easy process of working with the local vet, whoever you happen to go to, and they'll do the little molding for us. The molding gets sent to our shop. I make a brace and send it right back. It takes us about a week to do. So most of everything that I do in that regard, it takes about a week and a half or so in the whole scheme of things. And it allows Patsy and I to have that either phone or video conferencing with mom, dad, and or vet as we look at what the case entails, if we're going to be able to help, and then how we actually do that. So most cases, we just work with a local vet and give them the tools and the knowledge on how to actually do this. As most vets would say, prosthetics and orthotics is a whole new thing. Just never heard of it.
And I can attest to that, being 14 years as a generalist. This is a completely new area for me that I was blown away by when I first learned about it.
Well, I can hear the enthusiasm in both your voices, and I definitely want to continue on with this conversation of Martin Kaufman, the founder of OrthoPets, and Dr. Patrice Risch. She is a board-certified veterinary anesthesiologist talking about orthotics, prosthetics, and adapted devices for our pets. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly. Right after these messages.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's why.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog, Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Thank you so much for being back with us. What I find so exciting is listening to you, Dr. Patrice, in particular, where it's like, it's not just surgery, it's not just a brace. You're really bringing in this multimodal type of pain management and really addressing all the subjects. So obesity, acupuncture, medication, you're doing a little bit of everything.
That is definitely true. When I first began this road of learning about pain medicine, the first thing that strikes you is how incredibly complicated pain is, and any human being who suffers from pain understands this. It's complicated and it's individual, and in human pain medicine as well as in veterinary pain medicine, in order to improve quality of life, we really need to draw from a number of modalities, because no recipe works for every individual, for every pain syndrome. And in my mind, the use of orthotics and prosthetics is an incredible tool in my toolbox for treating pain. I haven't seen anything like this to cause so much of a leap in my therapeutic options. It's been phenomenal.
I think a lot of my clients, and they'll come in, for instance, with a pet that has a bit of a limp. You know, so how's it doing? Doc, it's getting a little bit older, a little bit harder getting up now. But, you know, it's just an older dog. Do you think it's in pain? Oh, no, 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 it's not in pain. It's not crying out. It's not doing anything. Well, gee, how about if we try something like a non-steroidal and losing some weight? Oh, no, no, doc, it really doesn't need it. How do you address this? How do you tell someone, they're already coming to you, they're gone up the learning curve, but in general, how would you tell a pet owner, what can they look for? How can they recognize discomfort in their pet?
Oh, that is such a good question, and I'm very familiar with that. I even am familiar with it with my own 15-year-old dog. I was with her every single day, and I'm a pain doc, for Pete's sake, and then someone would say, no, Griffin's not doing X, Y, or Z anymore. Are you aware of that? And the thing is, with our animal companions, assessing pain is different in many ways than it is for people. First of all, there's the language barrier. None of my patients so far speak English. And so we have to learn how to communicate with each other. And I need to find out what are the clues, what are the signals telling me a patient is in pain. This isn't much different from human dogs who work on babies. They don't speak English usually either. So how do they tell if a baby is in pain? Well, it's behavioral change. And so when I have a client say to me, you know, doc, I don't think that my dog is uncomfortable. And then we'd probe a little deeper and I say, well, how are your walks going? Oh, well, you know, we don't go so far as we used to. And we start talking about, well, why might that be? And we talk about, well, is he still able to go in and out of the dog door or jump on the bed? We start probing things that have changed so subtly that we're not even aware that that might be a sign of some pain. And then we begin the discussion about, okay, what if we make some changes here, here, and here? And then the aha moment happens, and I make a phone call a week or two later, and I hear, you know what? Guess what, doc? He hasn't gone out the dog door in months, and he did that today. Pain assessment in animals is very different, and I try to educate my clients on what are the signs, and I have some pain scales that I use to help guide clients. How do I look at my companion and realize that their comfort is improved or not?
You are not alone when you're saying, well, I'm a veterinarian, and I didn't recognize it. It's not an orthotic type of a problem, but I have two 10-year-old cats, brought in a new baby, and I noticed that my older female just wasn't playing and doing as much. I thought, well, she's just sitting back and watching the baby. And I knew she needed to get her teeth clean, took her in. Guess what? Bad tooth. It was a crack. So it had to be removed. And oh, by the way, she's had a little bit of loose stool. Got both problems cleared up. She's back to being a kitten, running all over the house and playing with a kitten, going, duh, how badly did I feel?
Oh, I understand that completely. Yep. It is amazing. Just those little changes, and we're all so busy, you might not notice that little bit of change, and then suddenly something causes you to go see your veterinarian, you get a really good physical exam, a little something's going on, we make some adjustments, and oh, it isn't just getting old, because, you know, aging isn't a disease. In my mind, we've heard that, but that's true. There's usually something going on that's made those changes.
Try and slow down that process. Speaking of process, Martin, what are some of the, you know, you look back and it sounds like you've just made some awesome, so unique, so individualized, different devices for pets. What are some, like you're talking about the orangutan, what other ones have you done that you go, oh, yes, this was really a lot of fun for me?
Well, so the blanket statement is I get a kick out of all of them, but that's too easy to say. So, yeah, the interesting cases, we would have recently a cow, due to frostbite, lost both back or her back hooves, a young cow. And Patsy and I got Meadow all set up with some really great prosthetics for the back hooves. So Meadow can just go out and bound around in the pasture with the rest of the herd. So that was great. The orangutan was great because that's such a close species to us. And just to be so intimate with his orangutan and how they move and how he held things, that was amazing. But I really get a kick out of canines who come to us at almost a last resort. They might be carried in by their owners, or it's just really bad circumstances, and maybe a surgical outcome just didn't work, or just a complicating factor presented itself. And we do a relatively simple little device, and the patient can just hop up and walk out the door that same day. Those, I think, really get me, really touch me a lot. But other really interesting ones, we did a little prosthetic implant on a turkey vulture. That was pretty wild. Kitties, those are always fun. But I would have to say, the patients who come to us on what appears to be their last leg, they've tried a lot of other things and nothing's working. And we can do something as easy as just putting on a brace, slipping on a prosthetic, and they can just bound out of here. Then you just sit back, smile, and understand why you're doing what you're doing.
What is the smallest animal that you've worked on? And I gather your cow is probably your largest.
Yeah, horses, yeah, that's a 1,500-pound horse. Those get pretty big. And ironically, the larger the patient, the easier it gets. So it's very counterintuitive for most of my referring vets. 110-pound spastic lab. Simple, easy. We know how to deal with 18-year-old boys who hurt themselves playing high school football. We can deal with them. The small ones are the challenge. The little chihuahuas, the teacups. But the smallest patient was actually a research project for a drug company. They're little mice. And there's special strands of these mice that are used. But we were making little ankle braces, little hawk braces for these little mice. That challenge.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of three blind mice and their little devices.
Yep. Yeah, you can imagine that, this how small this gets, yeah.
Okay, all right. There have been times when I've had to put on a bandage or a supportive wrap on a pet, and I will do my best to twist and turn and do all these various things to try and keep this bandage on, and I will admit that there have been times they've walked from the treatment area up to the reception area, and then the technician comes right back with the pet. It's like, why are you back? And she's holding the bandage in her arm because the animal has gotten it off. It's like, dang, I hate that. How do you convince them to keep these things on?
Well, the really cool thing is everything that you will do in your clinic is a circumferentially wrapped splint or bandage. So it's cotton padding, it's multiple layers, it's wrapping, it's taping, and it's, for a person to think about it, it's like an ACE wrap on your own wrist or ankle. Everything is a soft thing, or you might be wrapping around a rigid piece of plastic or fiberglass. When you get into the world of custom bracing and prosthetics, you get to create your own very sculpted, perfectly shaped shell, which means that when you close your straps, nothing is actually squeezing the leg. All you're doing is holding the leg in place. So our patients never feel that a tourniquet squeeze. They never feel the binding.
So it's not pulling the fur either.
No fur, no tape. And because you have this sculpted shape that we made from a cast of this patient, we know that it fits, we know that it fits well, and we know that it doesn't touch areas that we don't want to touch. And that speaks directly to the wounds that can be caused by bandaging. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry about wounds from bandages. We don't have to worry about patient compliance because it's very comfortable. And we don't have to worry about it being lost between treatment room and front reception. because of the shapes of the leg and how we design our devices, they stay on the leg comfortably and they don't migrate.
Okay, and you are working with animals, so even the craziest teenager will sometimes damage their orthotic device. So now you have that spastic Labrador, the teeny teacup poodle who just says, I don't want to wear this, and starts to chew on it. How much do these devices typically run, and how much then to refurbish the thing?
So let's speak to that first. If we know we've got a chewer, and actually of the thousands of cases that we've worked on, it's a very small percentage maybe less than 20 cases that I can recall that were just those kinds of patients. So if we know we got those kind, well, that's a consideration. That's the bitter apple, the cayenne pepper, whatever it is that requires the non-chewing. But for cases, $400 to $600 is a usual example for an orthotic device. Prosthetics can be in that range, and they could be more. It really just depends on how cool mom and dad want their prosthetic to look. A functional prosthetic doesn't have to cost very much. A really cool space-age thing that they saw on TV at the Olympics, that can cost a lot.
So the titanium ones cost more.
Titanium and carbon, yeah, looks really cool. Not a lot of functional benefits to the patient. But when we have a case who, they were dropped off at a doggy daycare for the weekend, and the doggy daycare personnel didn't put the device on correctly, and the dog chews it off because it was wrong. The only thing that we care about in a device is just this rigid outer shell that's made of a composite plastic. That's the cost. That's the involvement of the case. Putting on a new strap or new foam or new tread on the bottom that we would do typically on an annual basis, $60 is a complete refurbishment, which means then that your brace is brand new again. So it's really easy to maintain a device for a long-term solution. Devices will outlast the patients by decades. You can have a device that will eclipse the lifespan of your patient.
Having been in practice and had a few of those experiences you described of bandages falling off or coming back the next day and the dog has chewed your beautiful Robert Jones bandage to nothing, I was a bit skeptical years ago, but if an orthotic is properly constructed, individual is custom developed, and we pay attention to proper fitting, they do not chew on it unless there's some behavioral issue or we've left it on too long or something like that. It's a godsend to veterinarians, I have to tell you that.
I'm thinking of all the cases that I have because I'm just going up the learning curve myself now with this, going, ooh, that one can use it and that one can use it.
Yeah, you have so many options. And when I speak with new vet groups, I'll give a little disclaimer in the presentation. I'll say, you're going to think of a lot of cases that you could have, that you wished you would have, or that you wished you would have made a different choice. That's great. It really allows you to start to really impact how you think about a case. And that's the question that you would call Dr. Patsy and I with. I'm thinking that maybe I could use your services on this case. We can, as a team, provide you with the questions that you can answer that lead us to that solution.
Because probably we've seen it before. Not always, because there are a lot of crazy ones, and that's what makes it so fun. But probably we've seen it before, and we can tell you what parameters we need to work with.
What this is just, I think, a godsend. It is marvelous. If somebody wanted to learn more about OrthoPets, where should they go?
They can visit us online to our website, orthopets.com. That's O-R-T-H-O-P-E-T-S. Pictures and video and information up there. And as well as if folks are listening to the show out of country, we have centers in the U.K. and Australia. So there might be a center near them, globally speaking. They're always free to give us a call here at our main office to speak with either myself or Dr. Patsy.
Well, we've been chatting today with Martin Kaufman, the founder, creative genius behind OrthoPets, and their marvelous veterinarian, resident veterinarian, Dr. Patrice, or Patsy, Mish. This is a great service, so if you have a pet, and doesn't matter if it's a cat, dog, or even a mouse, that may not have the mobility that you believe it does deserve, and there may be something that you can do. So call OrthoPets, see your veterinarian, see what can be done, because being the best pet owner that you can be is always in your pet's best interest. So thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again next week to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Have a great one. Bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. the Pet Doctor. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.